the mic at Quincy, connecting the light. I wonder how many of you have found the time to tune into this program. Hopefully you might have been cleared of all your Christmas shopping and other duties to set this nice period of celebration in place. I'm certainly ready, and I'm looking forward to a few days of relaxing and enjoying myself, and I think also enjoying other people enjoying themselves. So I'm going to start with Sheldon Neidl's message, which I mention every time. It's really very uplifting, and this week is no exception. He's talking about our reality, which he said is transforming everywhere, and it's beginning to manifest even as the great chaos that marks the end of the old spirals ever upward. He says that this wave of dissonance is slowly beginning to abate, and as it does, the first glimmers of the new reality, the crystal and indigo children, have come in huge numbers to work their magic. That's an interesting comment, because every now and again there are reports of the amazing abilities of these children, and it does make one wonder where they fit into the pattern. But it's very nice to know that they are acknowledged. The message goes on to say that likewise, Mother Earth has started to alter her very makeup. And he talks of the earth adjustments that are similar and reflect our own developments of our 13 chakra system, which is accelerating at present. And the message says that you may be experiencing some dizziness, temporary feelings of disorientation, or even on occasion an out of sorts feeling. Yes. Those effects have been mentioned before. I suppose the trouble is sometimes we get various feelings of unease, and perhaps it's very difficult to know what the cause is. The message says that this shift in your reality affects you in many subtle ways. Be aware that as the light moves in greater strength across your globe, it transforms the very nature of your world. Time is being compressed. The patterns of your seasons and weather become more unusual. Strange circumstances or events begin to show up in your reality. All of this is in response to the great shift that is to return you to full consciousness. The whole process faithfully follows the mandate set forth by the divine plan. The Creator intends to transform this world and establish this solar system as a center for the universal movement to change the very nature of physicality. This operation has led the Galactic Federation of Light to contact a great many galaxies in our vast neighborhood and set up the machinery to forge an intergalactic union. A fitting addition to this organization is your reformed Star Nation as a full-fledged member of the Galactic Federation of Light. It remains our firm intention that Mother Earth be the site for future meetings of this intergalactic union. Well, that is sure something to look forward to there. One has to think that all this comes to us after we have reached that point where we can move forward through the ascension process. It all sounds wonderfully exciting to me, and no doubt as time goes on, particularly once the changes really get underway, we will learn a lot more about that. As it says, this inevitable move towards the stars is your destiny. For millennia you have been quarantined on Earth and under the repressive supervision of the Anunnaki. This time has now ended, are now shedding the misperceptions of your world and starting to accept that you are not alone in this enormous galaxy. Furthermore, you are just starting to realize that your ultimate physical origins are not to be found here on Earth. Yes, that's a funny concept, really, in some ways, because for us who accept the fact of incarnation, the fact that you have many, many lives, you might look back and wonder where you came from. And quite clearly, as the Earth was prepared for the human race, it would be apparent that we've all come from somewhere else. The only people who might not have an interest in that concept are those, of course, that do not believe in reincarnation, who feel that you have the one life only. Message goes on to say that you are children of the stars and that your relationship to the physical and spiritual heavens is far greater than you previously suspected. And it goes on to say that we have helped to turn the world towards the true wisdom of the light. The message goes on to say that they have set aside a portion of their fleet to act as intermediaries and showcases for many advanced technologies. Also, that this operation is to be carried out as seamlessly as possible. First contact is more than a family reunion. It is a moment when, at a stroke, all your creation myths and ancient histories get straightened out. Your sciences are likewise to be hugely altered by a formal physical presence on your world. They are all well-meaning sets of superstitions that need much adjusting. To a certain extent, they have helped you to explain physicality, but in the long run, they fail to provide a true understanding of what is happening in your reality. Similarly, your religious philosophies require a new vision and a much-needed overhaul. Further in the message, it states that universal truth and wisdom can now become the norm, and the upside-down notions of your present reality can be abandoned. Also mentions that the new abundance is more than an end to physical want. It is rather the start of a new mindset that changes your beliefs about what is possible. And it says this can open up a time for huge leaps in your creativity. Suddenly, no problem lacks a solution. The inherent joys of individual and joint creative expression can at long last flower. Talking again of the Anunnaki and their minions, message says that separation and strife were used to keep you from learning the truth. The age-old concept of divide and conquer was long used by the Dark Ones to make you think less of yourselves and of each other. To this end, with the return of the Ascended Masters, you need to learn about why you are here. You need to understand how your potential was shackled. You need to acknowledge how falsehood and half-truth were used to manipulate you. Then you need to learn about love. Love is the energy that drives creation. This pure energy is the very essence of the Creator. The message goes on to say that the plan for humanity sets forth how love births all things in the spiritual universe, how all is connected, and how all is tied to the sacred outcome according to the infinite intentions of the Creator. Love is at once endless and finite. A bit further on in the message, there is talk again about first contact and how it has its being in the divine love of heaven for us and results from a deep respect for our divine destiny. It says that you, dear hearts, are most special to heaven. You have endured much, and we await the time when we can pamper you with our technology and graciously guide you toward a comprehension of universal wisdom. And finally, I quote, as it says, in the latter part of the message, this move toward a new, more cooperative world is something all of you deep down desire in your hearts. That's certainly true, and the more we learn about what is promised for our future, I think the more confident we are in our well-being. Now, I will, this week, just spend a short time on recapping on my own messages that go back to last Friday when I had Saint Germain through, whose subject was about the human ego and about the handling of it and how we have programmed ourselves to react. But he says that when you take full charge of your thoughts and actions, it becomes only a reflection of the past. And he talks of the need for refining your thoughts, and that one should not feel guilty if you slip up. In recognizing your problems, you are already on the way to overcoming them. On Saturday, I had Agagria through, who is a guide and also a member of the Galactic Federation. And he was talking of how the light is gaining prominence on Earth, and that the people are taking steps to return power to themselves. And he is saying that what is happening is a prelude to first contact, and mentions that next year the last cabal will have to withdraw and they will be removed. On Monday this week I had Saint Germain back, and he was referring to the festive time, which is almost upon us, and reflecting on the fact that it is a time when we can renew friendships, a time of forgiveness, and one where we can heal the hurt that may be inside of us. He is talking about negativity and the fact that you cannot take any of it with you as you go forward to ascension. And he talks of this in the sense of any negative relationships that exist within families, and seeing this festive occasion as an opportunity to put these right. He says that families are brought together for karmic reasons, and it can be to clear negative karma, or it can be to create positive karma. And he talks of how you can be repeatedly placed together in the same family group. He then talks of how those who can prosper the best and can deal with these kinds of family problems that arise are those who have the advantage of being able to give unconditional love. He talks of the year 2006, and he says that this will be the time when people can create the opportunities for change, and that there will be a defection from the dark, and these people will, in some cases, reveal information to the chief prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, who no doubt will proceed with his inquiries, and we have yet to see, I think, some further indictments. On Tuesday, I had the Arcturian Elar come through, and he was talking about where they live in the higher dimensions, and that life there is a continual celebration, as they fully understand and give thanks to all they have, to the Creator. They have knowledge of great shifts of energy from the central sun. And he talks about how much grander it is beyond Earth, and that ascension will take us up into the vibration that only know perfection. And talking of our immediate future, he mentions that there will no longer be a need to toil for our own personal needs, and that we are meant to share the wealth of the Earth. He sees a wonderful love blossoming on Earth and anchoring itself on the Earth. On Wednesday, I had Saint Germain again, and he was affirming that the dark cannot stop the changes coming, and then mentioned that Mother Earth is a provider of all our needs, and with the will to share, that none should go short. In the same context, he mentioned that being poor is not a virtue, and neither is it necessary for our spiritual evolution. He went on to talk with the government and confirmed again, as many do, that they will be removed and a new one formed. And he spoke of energies that are again changing, bearing in mind his message came through on the 21st, which was the winter solstice, and he said these will be bringing about a new beginning. On Thursday, I had the only female ET, Diane, also of the Galactic Confederation, and she was speaking of their ability to see the Earth from their point of view, and that they could see the light of love shining out as we ourselves prepare for our festive break. She said that the size of the task to bring in the changes which they promised is matched by their technology. And she said that in the future we will enjoy our work, and the drudgery of manual work will cease and be fully carried out by automated processes. She also spoke of clean processes that will be the order of the day, and that there will no longer be pollution such as we now cause, that will not be allowed. She said that financial institutions will be reformed, and in mentioning health, said that they can cure all ills and that their treatment is not in the least harmful. Finally, today I had Saint Germain back, and it was much in the way of a Christmas blessing, and he spoke of love and said that there is always a way out, even for the dark, reminding us that even they still carry the light, no matter how dim it is, and that they still could recover should they have the will to do so, and that at any time that they choose to change, they will immediately be given help. He spoke of America, which was again to become a grand nation, and he said, speaking of individuals, that everyone would be in their right place for the end times, and to be alert for our chance to serve the light. He mentioned that there is a great opening about to occur that will fulfill our expectations. And in talking of the inevitable prophecies that we will get for the new year, he said that there will be many for this coming period, and they will be basically the same. So that's it. That is all I'm going to mention on my own messages. I come now to my UFO section, and I will finish the reports that I started last week, which came out of an old issue of the Flying Saucer Review, and were specifically written to cover UFO experiences around that time in the early 1960s in Italy. The one I'm coming to now is about a young painter called Franco Tomasini, and according to his statement, he was taking photographs in the Orlandi Hills, and he noticed an object that was approaching at great speed and without any sound. And he said that the machine came still lower and remained suspended at a height of about 2 meters from the ground. And from an opening in the lower part of it, there emerged a very tall individual, about 2 meters in height, which of course is about 6 foot. And he was wearing a rather tight-fitting overall, which showed his muscular configuration. And he said he seemed to have no stomach. He approached me and smiled at me, and then in a voice such as I had never heard before, he said to me in Italian, "I need water." And as he said this, he showed me two containers made of some fabric, which he produced, folded up, from a sort of pocket. Tomasini naturally obliged and went off to get the water for him, and the other, still smiling, his ineffable smile, thanked him, saying, "I'll do a favour for a favour," and jumped into his saucer, which took off like a rocket. There was another sighting by a youth, Roberto Perigoso, aged 20, who described a terrific experience that befell him and his mother and his 25-year-old sister. And that was in his house on the night of June the 26th, 1962. And he said that on the evening in question, which was a very hot one, his sister and himself and their mother were all sitting by the open window of the bedroom in which the mother and daughter slept. All three were quietly smoking cigarettes when they perceived above a church opposite a silvery disc of the size of the full moon, zigzagging to and fro. Amazed at the strange spectacle, Roberto shouted, "Look, a flying saucer." And the saucer remained in view for about an hour. Then the two women, tired from watching, decided to go to bed. And Roberto explained that Luisa sleeps on a divan near the window, and her mother sleeps in a bed on the other side of the room. And Roberto has his own room. Towards 3 a.m, Luisa was awakened by a sensation of icy cold that made her teeth chatter. "The temperature seemed to have dropped below zero," she said. "Such cold. And then I saw a greenish fluctuating light invade the whole room. Before I could recover from my astonishment, I saw appear 2 paces from my bed and in the rectangular opening of the window, an incorporeal being in a human form, but only with the outlines hazily defined. The rest of it was transparent. It had an enormous, close-shaven head. Although impalpable and maybe weightless, I could nevertheless see it, gigantic, with its huge legs and its huge hands extended towards me, as if it intended to carry me off. It was motionless, and only its hands brushed me. It had no particular odour. Luisa began to shout, and her mother woke and herself saw the thing, and then fell out of bed in a faint. Then Roberto appeared, also awakened by Luisa's call. He came to the room, and he too beheld the terrifying form bathed in the green fluctuating light that filled the room. Then the apparition began to recede and grow smaller, and passing out through the window, it disappeared in a flash, just like the light in a TV set when it goes out, but the freezing cold would have remained. Finally, come to the last report of Italian sightings, which was one seen by Francesco Vizzi, and he said it was exactly 2:20 at night when it happened, and he was doing his nightly round, and at this precise moment he entered the premises of a mill, and it was his job to clock in an order, and in order to do this he had to walk across the vast courtyard of the mill. And he said, exactly in the middle of the courtyard, I became aware of a swishing noise to the right of my neck. At first, I thought it was inside my ear, but then I noticed that the swish grew stronger and stronger. I therefore turned around and I beheld an incredible thing. I had read about flying saucers and Martians coming to visit us and to spy on us, and also about messages coming from other worlds, but I would never have imagined that it would fall to my lot to see such an object under my very nose. But there it was, just in front of me, hanging about 3 feet above the ground. It was of clear metal, perhaps of aluminium, with silvery reflections on it. Its diameter may have been 12 to 15 feet. On the top, there was a turret around which there were a number of dormer windows lighted. I was paralyzed, and I tried hard to believe my own eyes when suddenly the noise stopped. At the bottom of the disc, a door was opened, through which a little man came out. A little man of about 3 feet and a few inches. I could not see him very well because it was very dark in the courtyard, and the man's head seemed to be absolutely black. To make matters worse, he wore a kind of luminous overall, which made it hard to see him clearly. The man had perhaps no hostile intentions. He pointed one finger towards my hand, and with his other hand he gave me a sign to come nearer and not be afraid. Yet I was completely unable to move. Soon after, another man jumped out of the disc, submerged in a blue haze. With a commanding gesture, he made a sign to the other to re-enter the disc. Suddenly, the door closed behind them both. The swishing noise again started, and the disc disappeared in a cloud of white smoke. And that report finally goes on to say that only after the disappearance, the person concerned, who happened to be a policeman, regained command of his legs, and he made good use of them. He rushed out of the courtyard to tell everything to another night patrolman, who advised him to report at once to the commander, and he did so. And they sent out a search patrol, but of course, by that time, there was no trace. So there we are. That's some more interesting stories. I'm surprised in some ways that's just a few of what must be very many that relate to that period in the 60s when there really was a lot of high activity. I'm now going to come on to the general news, and there have been one or two interesting things crop up this week, and I think perhaps the red-hot news is the one over the censure motion introduced in the House over Iraq, torture, by the Democrat Rep. John Conyers. And I gather from one or two internet comments and emails that if you use Google to search for this particular one, apparently they won't take you to it. But it's basically about, is covered by the title which I've mentioned. But it is a motion to censure President Bush and Vice President Cheney for providing misleading information to Congress in advance of the Iraq War, failing to respond to written questions and potential violations of international law. Apparently that came from a site called Raw Story, and it was penned by Larisa Alexandrovna, and that was only last Tuesday. Now, with that this week, I also saw another more detailed report, which appears to be on the same matter. I don't know whether they're actually related, but this is one produced by the Constitution in Crisis by House Judiciary Committee minority staff. And that again goes back to Tuesday. And the report was produced at the request of John Conyers, so it evidently links in that way. And he made this request apparently in the wake of the President's failure to respond to a letter submitted by 122 members of Congress and more than 500,000 Americans in July this year, asking him whether the assertions set forth in the Downing Street minutes were accurate. As we all know by now, he has not replied at all to that particular memo. The report goes on to say that, in brief, we have found that there is substantial evidence that the President, the Vice President, and other high-ranking members of the Bush administration misled Congress and the American people regarding the decision to go to war with Iraq, misstated and manipulated intelligence information regarding the justification for such war, countenance, torture, and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment and other legal violations in Iraq, and permitted inappropriate retaliation against critics of their administration. It goes on to talk in detail about various things and questioning whether Bush and the Vice President or others can be censured, or whether it can go as far as impeachment. And the report concludes by saying, it is tragic that our nation has invaded another sovereign nation because the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy, as stated in the Downing Street minutes. It is equally tragic that the Bush administration and the Republican Congress have been unwilling to examine these facts or take action to prevent this scenario from occurring again. Since they appear unwilling to act, it is incumbent on individual members of Congress, as well as the American public, to act to protect our constitutional form of government. So there you are. There's clearly a lot more to come from that one. I saw a snippet of the report produced by the Associated Press. This report came out of Rome, Italy, and it was simply that a judge has issued European arrest warrants for 22 deported CIA operatives in connection with the alleged kidnapping of an Egyptian cleric from a Milan street in 2003. You might have seen a bit about that in the media, because this Egyptian was recently released, which is of course how they've learned of the details of his kidnapping. In another snippet, also from the Associated Press, a writer called Simeon Salahuddin, and it was just that the Iraqis are already saying that the elections that had just taken place were rigged in favour of the Shiite coalition. I suppose one might say the losers always complain and are convinced that something underhand went on. But there you are. We all know politics can be pretty seedy, so who knows? That's another area that no doubt will be fully investigated. That's a startling report that's come out this week, and it only crossed my hands today, although I see it was originally sent out yesterday. And this is Stu Webb and Tom Flocco, who are mentioned in a report put together by Scott Mowry. And he had Tom Flocco as a special guest on US Intel radio show a week ago. And they apparently covered in tremendous detail articles that they had co-authored over the last few months. And one that caught my eye was the one entitled 9/11 Widow Questions Why MSNBC Hosts a Silence Tape. Apparently, widow Ellen Mariani was on the show Scarborough Country with Joe Scarborough, and the report says that she had been promised by producers of the cable news show that she could speak for about 15 minutes, but that was ultimately cut off after barely 20 seconds of air time. After that, Flocco, Webb and Hannigan began investigating Scarborough and in the process uncovered some startling evidence that may implicate him into more serious crimes. And they said, or this is credited to Stu Webb, "We were out to expose Scarborough for doing news media cover-up and blackout on poor Alan Mariani. We feel that he knows way more about 9/11 than he is letting on. And I think more of what is going on is to come out. We believe that this may have been some sort of payoff," said Flocco. "We have intelligence sources that have told us this, that he got his payoff as an anchorman on MSNBC as a result of keeping his mouth shut." And goes on to say, "There was an issue that occurred in his congressional office, which was a young intern, Laurie K. Clausewitz, about the age of 28 years old, that turned up dead in his office. This was at the same time that Gary Condit and Chandra Levy issue. Stu and I had no idea that here you had the same thing was going on with Congressman Scarborough with a dead female intern," recalled Flocco. He mentions that, "I did some checking around and I heard from intelligence sources that there was a woman that had been suffocated in Scarborough's office by a team of three Red Squad hitmen." And then the rest of the report goes on to talk about the facts behind this particular squad, and apparently it was set up under George Bush Sr. with Ollie North, and it carried out, I think, some of the, as you might call them, the special services of that nature. I come to a few comments near the end of this particular report, and they're saying that the issue here is the fact that Congressman Scarborough was in possession of some very, very top secret documents called True Colours documents, or transcripts. They dealt with government involvement in blowing up buildings, the 9/11 attacks, White House death squads, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr. That was revealed by Flocco. So, there's some pretty hot stuff there. You can go to their site, no doubt, and find a lot more information on that one as it develops. We'll mention one tiny thing as it moved on to other subjects, talking about the former CIA director, George Tenet. And they were saying that he has testified before Patrick Fitzgerald and turned state's evidence. And he has been given limited immunity, which means that if he doesn't perform for Mr. Patrick Fitzgerald as a witness against the Bush administration, Mr. Tenet will end up in prison and probably executed for treason. So Webb warned. Anyway, that's all I'm going to read out of that particular report. It's quite a big one if you want to read it. I did see briefly that the Patriot Act had been extended by 1 month. Apparently that's to keep people quiet who wanted it extended for a longer period. I read that Jack Abramoff, the Republican lobbyist who is under criminal investigation, has been discussing with prosecutors a deal that would grant him a reduced sentence in exchange for testimony against former political and business associates. People with detailed knowledge of the case say the New York Times will report. So, there is another development, which again will provide some interesting news in the very near future. There was also an article this week which is circulating on the web, saying that the leak probe not seen to end with Rove. So the lawyers say, and this again comes from the Raw Story website, and it is penned under the name of Jason Leopold. And he was saying, which is interesting, that Patrick Fitzgerald is not expected to shut down his investigation into the leak of the covert CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson when he finishes his inquiry of White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove's role in the leak. So, again, we have another interesting development there. There was also another email floating around which mentioned the blocking by the Senate of the Alaska refuge drilling. Because I think if you recall, it was refused at one stage before, and then the government officials did say that they would try to get permission even so to still drill in that area. So one has to hope, certainly in a way I think, that they continue to be refused to do that. The point was made that people, that is the senators, had a choice to support the Alaska drilling measure or risk the political fallout of voting against money for American troops and the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And I'm not sure if that is credited to Senator Ted Stevens, whose bill I believe it was, but it tends to read that way, so there is a little bit of a threat there, isn't there? Anyway, another extract I've made from an email going around, which comes from Reuters, mentioning that the judge has resigned over secret surveillance. And this also came through the Associated Press, and it's reported at Washington that a federal judge has resigned from a special court set up to oversee government surveillance. Apparently, that is in protest of President Bush's secret authorization of a domestic spying program on people with suspected terrorist ties. Apparently, District Judge James Robertson would not comment this last Wednesday on his resignation, but the Washington Post reported that it stemmed from a deep concern that the surveillance program Bush authorized was legally questionable and may have tainted the work of the court. There we are, it's all happening, isn't it? There was yet another report from the Associated Press, and it mentioned the US Rep. John Lewis, who said Monday in an interview, radio interview in fact, that President Bush should be impeached if he broke the law in authorizing spying on Americans. So that relates to the last article I mentioned. And the report said that several Democrats have voiced discontent with Sunday night's television speech where Bush asked Americans to continue to support the Iraq war. And apparently Lewis is the first major House figure to suggest impeaching Bush. Now, there's a fairly long email again going around on the email circuit about Dick Cheney, and apparently it reads that he has put it on the table as bluntly and as faggishly as a mobster setting down a crowbar, and it's called a Buzzflash News Analysis, and it's talking of Dick Cheney saying that he, Bush and Rumsfeld are out to seize as much power as they can in the name of a robust executive branch. And the report says it isn't an executive branch that Cheney is after, it's a dictatorship. So there we are. So there's a little bit more that's been stirred up by some of the statements that are credited to George Bush and Cheney. Now what I'd like to do is finish up my last quarter of the programme by looking at some other messages of a more, shall we say, spiritual nature, other than the ones I've been reading. And I've got an extract here from one which came through Susan, or from Susan Carroll of multidimensions.com. And she sends out the multidimensional news. And this was talking about the new reality merging. And I'll just quote the following. And she says, and as you fulfill that promise, there are many things that you just can't tolerate any longer. It is not that you have a judgment against them. It is just that they don't exist for you any longer. They are not your reality. You can feel that something is shifting very deep inside of you. The regular world is still regular, but you are not part of that world. You are in it, but not connected to it. Instead of being connected to what is ending, you have decided to join forces with that which is beginning. The old world is much like a parallel reality going on around you. You see it and it sees you, but your worlds are so different that even though you are both here, it appears that you see the world through the glass darkly. It seems as though you are half an octave above that vibration. Because of this, you have no emotional connection to that reality. Hence, you are completely neutral, not connected by any emotion. You feel this way because it is true. Your resonance is arising and your attention is being captured by the many higher dimensional realities beyond the physical plane. There was a very interesting article circulated, and it was a message to civil servants and the people of America from Abraham Lincoln. And this was circulated by Peggy Hardy, and it appears to have been picked up from a site called congress.org. And this originally came out on the 8th of December through Helen Engel. It's quite interesting. I totally believe that these entities that have recognizable names, such as Abraham Lincoln, do come through to us, and why not? And he has said that we will feel changes in weather patterns, in Earth shift in its relation to the sun, so that Capricorn may appear to be offline. But he says, however, the greatest change will be in mankind. And he goes on to say that the atomic vibration of human beings has already been raised to a higher frequency, and that people will need training in this new form of getting along together. He says, because in the past there was a feeling of being alone and of struggling against all odds. And he says that getting this altered needs to be worked out on local level with groups. And he's saying that light workers are already preparing for continuing education and special educational methods for children, and educated care of the body. And he says that if leaders of one of these groups will go forth to other communities, to other countries, soon a worldwide group will be formed on a particular subject. This will be tedious work, but the benefits will greatly surpass the efforts expected. And in his closing comments, he says, I'd like to speak to civil servants in America, those who work and must keep their mouth shut, as the saying goes. This will not be the case much longer. It is planned that committees will be formed in every branch of government, similar to truth committees, that will bring to the front the various corrupt practices of the past. So there we are. And I feel that's quite interesting. Another article that's been going around for a little while now, but came along this month, refers to Sananda on the Second Coming. This article came out on the 8th of December from the insights2.org, and it reads that there will soon be the time when we can come among you with our shuttles and allow the people of this nation to know that aliens exist and that aliens are peaceful. Then I will come in the spirit of that time and be among them. And he's saying that there is much to be done to lay the groundwork for my coming in the flesh. Be among you for a short season before I go to Jerusalem and help restore the peace that should be present among all nations of the world. There will be other ancient leaders who will return and will help so that we will have a peaceful earth before long. Then the efforts that are put to war can return to bring peace and prosperity to many nations. The earth will sustain an abundance so that all life, so that all may have a good life and not be in dire poverty. That will usher in a time of peace, plenty and prosperity for all the nations of the world. However, there is much to be done to achieve that goal. So to begin, we shall need to have my church leaders properly prepared for the changes that are coming. Now, this message is in the form of an ongoing one, and it actually runs from the 8th of December backwards, commenting on various issues. And there was a little bit in the report from the day before, which said that first we had messages for our many church leaders that inhabit your valley. Our dear friend will be my voice to answer their questions and to instruct them on some of the new doctrine. So it will be time for you get my messages out to these church leaders. This dear friend, no doubt, being the channel through which the message came. There is an earlier message that spoke of heaven coming to earth on that. Thousands of ships were in the sky all over the world. And he said, yes, they will come a very short time after the first landing is announced in Utah. And again, my major role is to bring forth the new dispensation of religious doctrine and the new harmony among the many churches that pray to me and teach portions of my gospel. The biggest doctrinal change is the concept of eternal progression that is only faintly alluded to in the heavily edited scriptures that are the Holy Bible. It will be important for all of my ministers to understand, preach and teach the concept of eternal progression, with the further linking of that concept to the periodic reincarnation of each soul as they learn and progress. First of all, I'm going to quote from that one. I have a great deal of time left, but there was one circulating, that is one email, of a channeling through David Brown on the 13th of October in Austria, where Cryon is giving his messages. And the people who know Cryon, he refers to himself as Cryon of the Magnetic Circle. I must say, I like his reports. They're very energetic. And perhaps sometimes, though, they are deep and need a reading once or twice, but I always find them very illuminating. I'll read one or two bits, and he's talking about eventually the period of 2012, when we expect this cycle to end. And he's saying that a new world is coming fast, a world full of love, joy and freedom, and you will become creators in your own right. Creators of the reality you choose without negative emotions and thoughts. And in time, these thoughts will assume instant reality. Your personal guides and many masters from around the universe are also present this night, talking of the time when he's here for channeling. Not that your guides are any less than masters, but much has been learned from the experience you are living on earth. He goes on to say that when we use the word magic, and he speaks of us being magical beings of this universe, we mean the ability to create divine will here on earth, or the physical manifestation of divine will. Divine will is becoming stronger and stronger on this planet, and you are all becoming more connected to the divine. There is much untapped love in your hearts. Now, I'll go straight on to the section which comes towards the end of this article, where he says, we are now going to set the energy for the year 2012 and build this energy very slowly. You will experience fears and issues in your body, but just observe and be aware of these feelings As the energy builds, hold all your issues and fears and take a good look around you. See what your life is like in that year, 2012. At the moment, the energy is at 60%. There will be new ways of travel and a new economy on the horizon. This is not an energy to fear, but rather an energy to revere. You are the ones who carry the seed of this energy in bringing through so much love and so much healing. You're energizing the seed. You will lead the way into this new energy, and as more and more of you become enlightened and evolved, you will be looked up to and followed. You will be heard and you will be seen as bright lighthouses for the new age. In the new age, everything will be generated through love. There will be space on this earth for everyone, new ways of living and new energies that will be tapped and used. We are now at 70% of the energy, so acknowledge your feelings and emotions and release them. You should feel that you are in an expanded place, a place where your spine is straight and your heart is glowing. Let more and more of this energy fill you and that soft inner space within you. In 2012, you will be as soft as cotton wool, but you will also be immensely powerful. Now this energy is moving toward 80%. Once again, acknowledge and release any emotions or feelings that are coming present. In 2012, your relationships will be smooth and easy. Your energy will be vibrant. And in the blink of an eye, you will have answers to all earthly questions. Commit your energy to meet this energy. We are now moving towards 90%. Open your heart to even more that energy and greater love flow, for this will be a love-generated era. Now look deep inside and see what life will be like in 2012 for you. Receive only the truth. 2012 is the year of a new dimension. The vibrations of planet Earth lead humanity into a new dimension. We are now between 95 and 98%. Be gentle with your bodies and be very aware of your feelings. Acknowledge these feelings and release. Then look around and experience this energy. Observe the way you travel and the way you communicate. The part of you that thinks that all is possible, acknowledge that part and give that aspect of yourself to spirit and let love flow. Observe your body. Observe the energy that is in that body, what it feels like. Where there is hurt or pain, let this new energy move through and invite more and more love to flow through your body. And I'm going to conclude my program this evening there. And Cryon says, dear ones, this is your work. You are the leaders of the new age. You are the ones who have the key to opening up the earth plane to this new energy. Well, that's it, my dear friends. I do hope you enjoyed the program, and I shall be back with you, to the best of my knowledge, next Friday. And I do hope you all have a very pleasant and wonderful break, and particularly for those of you who normally work. I'm lucky, I'm fully retired, but even so, I do like the feeling and love and friendship that goes with this beautiful time of the year. So, God bless you all. Do have a nice time.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.